Tonight, we are going to share some of our thoughts and ideas that pertain to some of the topics and the questions that we have on our list that have been given to us by people who have come before, so we can listen and who are interested in what you are having to say about our condition of invisibility as women, black women. So my first question, I'm gonna send it out. Anybody can answer, just raise your hand and start talking, okay? What does being visibly invisible mean? Visibly invisible. Yes, there you are.
You have a headset on.
Oh,
I don't have a headset.
Well, for me, being a black midwife in the United States, starting very early, having to work with other organizations that were dominant culture, my work was not seen as important. It wasn't recognized. I had to fight very hard to put black midwives on the map in this country. Forcing myself into meetings, writing letters, petitioning, calling people out so that I could be visible in the work that I'm doing to save black babies and families in this country.
I'll go, since I kind of, I guess, coined the visibly invisible. So like Oprah in Color Purple said, all my life we had to fight, you know, or she had to fight. And as black women, we are always having to fight. We have to fight for our families, for our communities, for our health, for whatever it is we need. Sometimes it seems like we always have to fight. And, you know, like I said earlier, we're visible when we're needed. You know, they will use us up, you know, and we will gladly do it because that's who we are, you know. However, they'll take advantage, you know, folks can take advantage of it. And when it counts, when we really need to be heard, and when we are fighting and advocating and telling our truth, speaking truth to power, trying to reclaim our time, you know, we are not heard, you know, and it really impacts a lot of areas of our lives when that happens. And so I think I'm slow down, because I'm going to jump ahead. And a lot of times, so being visible, because we are strong women, you know, and this is just these few women up here, but all the plethora of women that are out there, we all have a story and we all have strength, all women. But when you talk about black women, we're kind of, you know, on the totem pole. When you think of disparities and death rates, mortality rates, and all of that, we're like down at we're the first to go, you know. Right. And so being visibly invisible for me is giving us some time, being able to learn to acknowledge, you know, being visibly invisible is, oh Lord, did I say that? I'm talking too long.
No, you just talk from your heart. That's what
right.
It's
right. Yeah. So, like I said, with being visibly invisible, we're wanting to be seen. So one of the things that I've said to someone is, because they used to try to ignore me all the time and I had to do something that I, you know, kind of regretted. But I was like, I'm not invisible now, am I? You know. You know, sometimes you have to say those choice words. Sometimes you have to do, you know, to draw attention. But when we are visible, so when we're visible and we are advocating and we are out there doing what we're doing, what are we considered? Angry black women. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not considered women that have passion and drive that really want to change and a difference. So, okay, let me stop, because this ain't my show.
You have
right
a
now.
Book in you, you know that.
Oh, yes.
That's right, we'll all buy
so,
it. We'll buy
yes,
it.
So that's
she's taking pre-orders.
Me.
Yes, yes, that's right.
So I'll stop
truth,
there.
Though.
I'll stop
truth
there.
Truth to power, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. How do you feel about it? Because you were saying something in the back.
Yes.
Really important that I want you to share with everybody about the masking.
Yes, the masking, especially being the first African-American clown, you would think that I put the clown face on to hide, and that's not what I did. I put the face on and the green hair and the yellow car to be seen. Mm-hmm. I walked around in the city And I looked at Mama Diane, who was recognized. I went to church with her, and I was the Sunday school teacher, and I wasn't seen. I was teaching our babies. I went to the mosque, and I wasn't seen. I was doing the work. Nobody recognized me. There are several people in this city that every time I would show up at different meetings, and I'm thinking, brother, now you know I'm the only black sister that came to this meeting. How do you not remember who I am? But I said, okay, I'm going to make you remember who I am. I never wanted to be rich. I just wanted to be remembered. Yes. And I always wondered how Rosa Parks became Rosa Parks. She wasn't doing it for likes. There's no social media, wasn't any Twitter, wasn't any Instagram. And when I first started becoming a clown, I didn't have any of that. My thing was that being invisible is walking into an Alberta restaurant and not being asked, can I help you? Mm-hmm. But if you are being asked, can I help you, it is an offense.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's being invisible. Because you don't see me, you see a thug, you see a thief. Mm. So I said, everybody was on the forefront of dealing with gentrification in their own ways, and I couldn't figure it out. I had left the city at one point in time, and I came back, and that's when I met this sister right here, Shalonda. It was at Reflections. I had been there plenty of times, but I was invisible. Now, I'm not mad at y'all if you didn't see me, if you don't remember me. This ain't angry black woman, is it?
Right. Right.
But this is just a story of how can I do the work. Because, you know, sometimes we say, well, how's she gonna do that? I already did that. Okay, I'm gonna come with something I know you ain't gonna do. You gonna
right.
drive a slug bug? Raise your hand. Who gonna drive a slug bug with the top down? With the Aretha Franklin going? Okay, when you have to, sometimes you just have to kick the door in. And so to me, I have to say that through all my accolades, I can walk on Alberta and I am still invisible with my clown suit on. I never did. I broke barriers by returning back to Reflections when it was no longer Reflections. We had boycotted it. I'm not mad if that was what you do, but I crossed the picket line and started the first African American. I started the first black story time.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
For our babies. And I made the owner put up a picture, and I made them understand. She said, I didn't know what this was. Well, you do now, and you're going to learn today. So to me, it's when it's sad. So today I stand retired as that clown, because now I'm ready to do a different work. Because now I want to know, did you learn the lesson that that Nikki Brown clown taught you in that rainbow suit? So now class is over. So all you class clowns, stand up. What did you learn? Don't be invisible.
So one of the things that stands out to me from a personal level is that we walk around on a daily basis. I was born and raised in Portland. This is a predominantly white city, getting even whiter. However, we're invisible to each other. And so I was always raised by my mother. She was from the South, Picayune, Mississippi, to speak.
Right.
That's
right. You know, and as a mental health therapist, often when I'm sitting in front of someone who's a reflection of me, what I often hear is that, you know, what's going on? You know, people, you know, you say hi, people don't say nothing back, and I feel isolated and I feel alone in a city that's already, you know, folks of African descent is shrinking.
Yeah.
And so not being seen by us sometimes is painful. And even when I see someone, I'm like, how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? Because I want you to know that I see you, your reflection of me. And when I hear people, I've had conversations with people that I don't have to know you to see you. I know how it is to walk in a store and say hi, and someone look at you like, I don't know you, or how you doing, sister? You're not my sister. Just to see the pain in that person, even have to tell me that. But saying, acknowledging us, or acknowledging a brother or sister, could be the difference with saving their life. Because I've had people sit in front of me, I've had the honor of people allow me to share very sacred spaces in their life where they were on the brink of taking their life for not being seen. And how simple you know, something we can do and how we just don't really honor it. But I've learned now that when I see people, I make it a point. I used to any human being, because that's the humanity and us as African people.
That's right.
But when I see someone that look at me, I want you to know I see you. Because that could be the difference on that day that that person said, I'm here. And I matter. And I'm making a, you know, a commitment to be here, to stay here amongst, you know, the living.
Do you think that that's a reflection of us responding to the atrocities and the things that have been happening to us before in history?
Yes.
And that we just isolate and recoil and stay back and only stay with people we're comfortable with?
Yes.
Do you see what I'm saying? Because I feel that way about when we talk about our history about Vanport.
Mm-hmm.
Vanport didn't just have light-skinned black people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There were people from all over that were in Vanport. Mm-hmm. And yet, there's some who are talked about and some who are just forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's up to us, because we're the only ones that know that story.
Mm-hmm.
Are those of us who have been here since the 40s, right? My family and your families and everybody that you know and respond to. So the discoveries need to come out of us, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, not put up on us and then we add on, right? We have to be the ones that create it.
And then from a historical standpoint too, I was listening to, you know, a podcast around when our ancestors was on the plantation, you know, we couldn't really speak to each other.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, you look at this intergenerational trauma, you know, about you couldn't do those things because more than one black person getting together, seeing, speaking, then you were plotting.
That's
so we've learned that it's not okay. You have to know somebody to connect with them.
I was thinking about that, what we were talking about, that takes me back to the green room conversation we had backstage, which was the clown character that I created. Was when you saw her, it was almost like I was giving you permission to say, okay, it's on, we can be, this we can be us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's almost like we're so guarded and protected that, oh, is this okay? And are we gonna be judged by our own, not even by the outsiders, you know? Like, oh, I don't understand this. And some of us, we don't know everything. So like maybe at a Juneteenth, maybe you don't know what Juneteenth is. So you don't know what the etiquette is. And so sometimes having that clown character come and say, well, it's just a celebration. Let's just have fun. And then it just breaks down those barriers because sometimes we get divided by our religion, our age, and so many, it's preconceived.
The protocol.
Yeah.
Invisibly invisible for me, it's who I am and who you think I am.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I really get to be? But I really like centering back to us, a reflection of you is me, and I'm looking at Sister Galena,
like,
and when I see her, I'm reminded of me.
Yes.
And when I see my sister Avelle, it's a reflection. And how do we get to be intentional about that?
Yes.
And I'm thinking this is a moment for us. This is a time for us as African Americans, as African American women. And when I see you, I'm reminded of who we get to be, who we choose to be, Sister Sheila. And that's the power of that. I'm just remembering a white woman came up to me after she got comfortable, because you got to get comfortable. And she said someone was offended because I said I didn't see color. And I hurt her feelings. And I was raised right. I said, Miss Ella, when you said that, you said you didn't see her.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, how do we remind each other that we see each other?
Yes. Right.
Mm-hmm. And don't stop speaking.
That's right.
Let's not stop speaking.
That's right.
A black woman said, you know, you said hi to me, and I almost didn't say hi back. Because I said hello to a sister, and she said, you just spoke to me because I'm black.
Oh,
that's a good reason.
So let's
that's a good reason.
Yes,
and I said, so how do we get to see each other and just like welcome each other back home? Let's just welcome each other back home. I see y'all.
Yeah.
For me, visibly invisible, it didn't really take on a meaning until I started working in the cannabis industry. And if most of you know, that industry is almost strictly white male dominated.
Mm.
So when I got the position that I got as the district rep and whatnot, it put me in the position to have to go and deal with white males in spaces that were not meant to accommodate me at all, and teach them about something that they knew they thought they knew absolutely everything about, and there was nothing that I could teach them that would, you know, that they didn't already know. So I had to make space always when I did that. But then it got to the point where I would start seeing people who looked like me that were coming to attend these workshops and these classes because they wanted to get in on the industry. And I would be excited, but I would go and sit down at a table with a placard with my name in front of it and have people that look like me, other black women, and say, that's for the lady who's doing the panel. And I'll be like, oh, okay, you know. You could probably, I don't know if she's here yet. And I said, well, what's her name? And she said, well, I don't really know how to pronounce it. I said, Raina. Yeah, that's it. I said, nice to meet you. But that hurt me. It really did, to walk into a space and finally see people that look like me, and they still treated me like the hell. That really sucked.
It's hard when you try to rely on the goodness of other people understanding your plight. Mm-hmm. See, this is the deal. We are teaching. Yes. You know, and as long as you have the knowledge, my grandmother used to say, you're the one that's responsible for reaching out because they don't have the tools to reach back.
That's right.
Mm. Right.
So you have to reach out. You have to. All the time, and it's painful. It drives you crazy.
Well, it's
you
tiring.
Get so tired.
Yes, right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you get so tired.
It's kind of like Harriet Tubman having that gun to tell them that they only knew they were slaves.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard, but you have the tools. We all have the tools because we've been through the struggle. We have the tools. You know, there's another question that I'd like to ask you, and I hope you just go ahead and tell us what you feel. Really what you feel. Mm. Okay. Here we are. Yeah, no protocol. All right.
Y'all sure about that?
So when you are contributing and you have ideas and concepts, mm-hmm, you know where I'm going. People steal your ideas, demean your position so that you are not credited. How do you respond to that? And what do you do to keep moving forward?
I get with more like-minded people who share some of my ideas that look like me that we can kind of coincide and work with together. I have family in the healthcare industry, and you can't spell healthcare without THC, so.
That's a t-shirt.
That's a t-shirt.
But I just feel with like-minded people who share my ideas or who share ideas of their own. Mm-hmm. And when not, I have a mantra that says, keep it lit. And when I can't keep it lit and there's some darkness at the end of the tunnel, I have people that are sparking and lighting along the way so I can see. And that's when it gets pitch black, then that's when they come along with like the really, really big blunt and be like, girl,
the toughest
it's gonna be all right. I promise you it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I've often, you know, as I get a little older, you know, I've learned to just, sometimes there's a time to, you know, be polite, and then there's a time where we have to call a thing a thing, and I just am very clear, because one thing I know, too, in society that women overall, you know, often, you know, have been socialized to be quiet, or that's your place that you need to be in. And then black women, we just need to be silent and be quiet all the time, because either like Sister Shalonda said, we angry when we're passionate about something. So I've learned to speak up and not often be concerned about how someone feels, because you're not concerned about how I feel when I'm being violated. If I'm contributing to a project, then I want my credit, you know. An example is, you know, a work-related issue came up and my credentialing was left off some things, and I was told by someone, a Eurasian individual, that really pretty much in nice words, that didn't matter. And I was like, absolutely it does matter, because I see your 14 letters here. That's so awesome. I'm gonna need you to go back and re-edit that and put my credentialing on there because nobody gave me anything.
That's right. Right.
I had to work for everything I have and still am working. So just speaking out about those type of things and not feeling bad about it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I don't necessarily want to say fear because one thing too is that, you know, when we speak out, that is that, you know, we do experience that fear around, that's that financial racism,
yes,
where they want to start messing with your money because you're speaking out,
yes,
you know, and you're challenging behaviors on jobs or how people treat you.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's very important that that we do protect our intellectual property because most of the things that happen in this country have been discovered and created by black people that we would never know, they never got credit for. And so it's important that we want every race to know that black women and black people are doing things in the 21st century. And for me, the work that I do protect it. You know, I challenge people, I write them letters, I blast them on Facebook, I don't care. You know, you're not gonna take my stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You're not gonna do that. And even if I don't win, you're still gonna know that I've caused the right. I usually do win, by the way. But, because I know people, and I get people to write letters, I get petitions, I have one big thing in this country where, again, the whole thing about midwives is very political. Most, even though black people were midwives historically, we're not now. So in 1920, there were 42,000 black midwives in the South. Now there's probably 100, literally. Mm. And because it took black midwives from our community, we have a lot of health problems, because the midwives are the ones that kept things intact. So when we, when we look at midwifery, it's a political job, and so I have to get letters from other people of any race who support the work to push the agenda of what I created or what my organization created. So I think it's important that we protect our stuff. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really so important. And then when you are dealing within your own community, is there another approach?
Nope.
Or do you just go the same way? I'm asking
no,
because there are more than me in this room.
Well, if it's within my community for me and I know you, I might call up and say, Shalonda, you know, good and well. Like, I'm glad she said Mama Shafia taught about head wrapping. I appreciated
time,
that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yes.
But some people act like, you know, they just figure out on their own. So I might call them and say, you know, try to be a sister, you know, blah, blah, blah. If it doesn't work out, then I have to use other approach. But that's my style.
And I call them on it straight up. I'm like, you know, you didn't do this. You took my shit.
No, she kept it real.
Yes. And you knew full well you didn't do it. They were like, oh, well, I do. So I do. You know, you drew the wrong card today. You took it. You know.
And give it back.
And even when I deal with white people, it's the same thing. But then I get that angry black woman.
Mm-hmm.
Whole
right,
yeah, thing that's hanging. She's just pissed off,
right?
No, I am pissed off because you took my stuff.
I think it's true
are we gonna,
too.
Oh, go ahead.
Just that, you know, you get that old adage: people treat you like you let them. But again, and I think of the work that folks do, and I think that Sister Rika there, I'm so proud of the work she's doing with diversity, and there's always a new word for it. Now it's microaggression.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, for that same old feeling you've been having.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say, and I think of my grandmother, trust your knowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If it feels like that, trust your knowing.
Mm-hmm.
You go down to the school board and they tell you something. No, I have facts and I trust my knowing.
Yes.
And you don't let folks, you don't wait for their validation.
Yeah.
And how do we deal with each other? And I'm looking out at that creative way of loving each other, but speaking truth to power,
mm-hmm.
we're not honest enough with each other.
Mm.
We go around and we hurt each other, and we act like we did, and we talk about, I don't know if that was a question, but I just felt the spirit tell me that.
Oh, well, you'll speak.
And we act like it's okay. And we're hurting each other, black women especially. It's like we're trying to get a reality show, Atlanta Housewife, a hip hop hoe. And I'm tired of that for us. We're better than that.
Yes,
but I think if we think about whose we are, who we are, and remember our names,
yes.
remember who we are, that's that creative spirit I'm thinking about. And I always think of my sister saying, are my ancestors, please.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Of all that they created and brought us here, and it will never be as hard as it was for Harriet. Mm-hmm. And when she said she freed 1,000, and she could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves. But sometimes if we're really honest, and my husband and I laugh about this, there are some black folks, and I'm gonna love you anyhow, but I'm so glad you weren't there when the slaves were free.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
We need to be honest and love each other with that creative spirit, remember who we are. But I'm gonna stop now, because I don't want to start y'all amening.
Okay? That's what I'm saying. You make a good point, but it's hard to love each other if you're invisible to each other.
Yeah.
And that's the whole issue. If you're invisible, I can't love what I don't see.
Right.
You know, so we have to, like you said, speak to people. You know, my family's from Alabama. And when I first married my husband some years ago, he didn't know that I was the way that I was, and I would just stop and talk to every single person, because I was raised that way, you know, and even down south, regardless of race, they might be segregated, but still, how you doing, ma'am, to stay on your side of the road, but they saw you, you know, and so here, we need to remember and be visible to each other, so I don't have the solution, but I think, you know, we can't get there until we start seeing each other as people.
Yes.
And also, don't be afraid to speak, because sometimes people don't speak back. But I still say hi anyways.
There you go.
You know, I still say hi regardless. I say, hey, how you doing? Just keep walking.
And you know, when we first came to Portland, the people that came in the 40s, they came from the South.
And they all spoke.
So they all spoke.
It's their kids who don't speak.
They all spoke, and their kids better speak.
Everybody
raised
grandparents.
Right?
Exactly.
And we're even afraid to raise our own children. I'm saying that. We're afraid to correct our children.
Mm.
And we used to be a village, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody corrected, everybody raised, everybody brought them up, everybody taught them.
But we're in a new era. When you have your kids going to school and they ask your child and they walk to school at, you know, fifth grade, they have seven children, and the question every day is not, did you do homework, but are you safe at home?
Right.
They breathe that.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
it's we're in
society.
A different society now.
Society.
You know, you can't discipline your children. And then, I'm going to say, I feel that, you know, for a lot of white American children, their children are very different. To me, they're out of control. And now our kids have gone the same way. Because a long time ago, whatever our children did, when they saw an adult black person, they stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they left, they did it again.
Yeah.
But now they just do it in front of you, and they might do it to you. And that's that was not our culture ever. So, you know, it's the laws that have come into place that have, it's another topic, actually, but the laws in place have really made it difficult to parent from an African-centric approach.
Yes.
When your children said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, they respected you, they listened to you. Now, I'm going to do live Facebook page, and so my live Facebook, my next thing after this week is to talk about not telling a child who's screaming to be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a four-year-old screaming at the store for no reason, but no one ever says, stop screaming, there's nothing wrong with you. But when we grew up, you didn't do that.
That's right.
You didn't scream in no store.
But you know, and what's that new, that word? I don't want to do any pushback. That's a disclaimer, like, I'm not disagreeing, but.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of traditions, and we are folks rich in traditions. But I think in that honest place, there's some traditions that no longer serve us. And how do we get to be honest about that? And I'll use the example, you know, where I was great, spoiled the child, the rod. And, but when I was in the system, I was a mandatory reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the hardest things I ever had to do in my life was to report this African-American grandmother that had her four grandchildren because the mother was on crack. And the granddaughter came to school, and Darlene, I'll never forget her. She had to tell me what happened, and I had to report it. I went to the grandmother and I shared that I had to report it. We went to the court together. And the judge, this is the grandmother that had walked with Dr. King.
Mm. Mm.
And I knew she was coming from that loving place. And the judge, it's like a Judge Adrian Nelson that was kind and saw the issue and recommended that there be a class and find a cultural class to teach her other ways to reward and have consequences when the children were disrupted. So I'm saying that to say, maybe because I didn't get whoopings, and when my daddy whipped me once, it hurt my heart more than it hurt my butt. So there is something to be said for the balance of how we love and show love. And how many of you have been in the store with the mom, and the child is, and she's speaking to the child in a way that's not as kind as it should be, Now they got on the best Nikes, and they looking good, and you struggle. I don't want to be disrespectful, but I just say, I know it's hard, can I hold? And all she bad, oh, she's challenging. I'm not gonna say, you don't call your child bad, but I just think what I'm trying to say as an elder, and I'm so grateful that you acknowledge that, that how do I work with you in love and kindness, but we still have to speak truth. Mm-hmm. Some
exactly.
traditions that don't serve us well.
Well, we're not saying abuse children. We're saying, I'm not saying to, you know, beat our kids. Oh. I'm saying just our culture, she was mentioning, you know, how do we see each other being visible, and the thing on the children, how our children are long respecting, having seven children, myself, and not beating my children, and my father being from the South, I think I got a spanking like once in my life. But believe me, I respected my dad because there was the energy in the home that you got from birth. No matter what, you respected your parents. And it could have been the Christian upbringing where, you know, honor thy mother and father. It could be in Islam, reverence the woman that bore you. But African culture, you respect your elders. But that part has been dissolved. We don't have that anymore. And so I just, you know, like I said, it's not about, I definitely talk about post-traumatic slave parenting, which is beating our children and cussing our kids out. And as a black midwife, my job is to go into the home and teach women and men when they're early and pregnant how to love their unborn so they don't do that when the child comes out.
But, also, I would have to say, like, one of the things that I was blessed to do was to take your doula class. And I was able to learn, even though I'm not a practicing doula, but I was able to learn to see the invisible. And the invisible, right here in Portland, Oregon, and all over the United States, are pregnant black women. You go, so I learned to see them, acknowledge them, and help them, and tell them, I see you, and I'm available. And one of the biggest gifts that I was able to do, you know, not as a doula, but just as a person, I was at the local Walgreens, seeing a pregnant belly. I got excited. Hey, sis. You know, everybody else was just letting her scan her stuff. You know, just regular, do you want paper, plastic type thing. And I got up, hey, sis, where's your baby coming? And she said this, and she perked up, unlike the other conversations with the other patrons. And I said, well, do you need anything? Do you need any help? Well, you know what? She broke down and broke character.
No.
Yeah, you know, I just don't have nothing. I don't have nothing. I said, you know what? I have a bassinet at my house, and I want to give it to you. What? And I told her, here's my information. I don't want nothing. I just want to give it to you. If you need me to be there, and I made myself available. I didn't actually attend her birth, but I told her I was there. I dropped my top on my Beetle and put this whole basket in there. Drove it to her parents' house. She was like a teen mom or something. I don't know what was going on. They looked at me like, why? And I think at that time I had on a whole Islamic suit. They were looking at me like, why are you here with this basket? How you know our baby? And what's the catch? And I said, ain't no catch. I seen a pregnant baby. And I think, what's your slogan? It was like, everybody's baby.
Healthy baby is everyone's business.
It's everybody's business. Mm-hmm. And so from that point on, I don't always post about it, I don't always talk about it, but any pregnant woman near me, I'm packing a bag, I'm giving you something, my phone number, I'm giving you diapers. And so to me, I think outside of being crazy and putting on a green wig to make yourself visible, one of the things that I did was taking this class made me realize that maybe I might not be able to touch every black woman or every person, but you know, you can start at birth or at the time that people feel invisible, and pregnancy is the most vulnerable time, you know, and I didn't know that.
So I'm going to, isn't that beautiful? I'm going to ask one more question, okay? And I would like for each of you, and this is not on the paper,
Uh-oh.
I want to find out, because I'm interested.
Oh.
I want to know what your charge is to the people who are in this room right now. What is the charge? What are we supposed to do next? Because we can gather all we want to, but if we don't have a charge, then we haven't done anything. What do you want them to do to make sure that more women are visible? Black women, women are visible.
Acknowledge each other. A smile is the language that everybody can understand, and I think just a smile, just like Sister Michelle was speaking, you know, just saying hi, But you know, just walk up, hey, how you doing? Hey sister, how you doing? And smile. And I think I would say acknowledge each other, develop a tolerance for each other's differences, and accommodate each other's differences.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that our tolerance is comfortable, if that makes any sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense.
I would think to know who you are, you know, that namaste, the light in me reflects the light in you. Know your purpose and your gift. And to know that you didn't get here alone. We all have amazing gifts. Right. And did I make it a better place? Because I lived, is it a little better for someone? And I think that's it. And share what we have and who we are. Pass it on. It's not ours to keep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
And just keep loving on each other. Just keep loving on each other.
So I guess what I would, in terms of women and supporting one another, always, there was a presentation I did for Susan G. Komen for women who were breast cancer survivors or who were recently diagnosed. And there was a slide on there, and I have a black superwoman. And I made all the women stand up and say, you know, S is not for superwoman, it's for self-care.
Mm. Yes. There you go.
You know, so reminding a sister that it's okay to take off your cape. And sometimes we might have to ask a sister, can I hold your cape for a while?
Yes, that's cool.
You know, and even if we have to get up and mimic
right.
it and take her off and exchange that energy and hold that for her.
I like that.
You know, so when people come in to see me, and I have, like I say, the Creator has given me a wonderful gift as a healer to share very, very sacred spaces with women and men, and I don't take that lightly at all. But when they come in, let me, you know, sometimes they're tough. Let's take it off. Because we even have to be strong, even when you got the privacy with someone that you do trust, with your innermost secrets.
Yeah.
I have to say, it's okay when I say it, let's take it off. Stand up, take it off, put it in my hand. You'll get it back soon enough.
Right.
So,
that's right.
How
should?
I was.
What's the charge to the room?
The room.
Mm-hmm. What's the charge?
The charge to the room is being okay with saying no to the good and yes to the best. I've been asked several times to come out of retirement. I've been asked to come back to Portland to do this and that. And the money was good. The money was okay. And, you know, even the babies called me on the phone. Yes, the babies called me. They call me all the time and tell me all your business. But they do. Babies tell me everything. But no, this was the best. And so I came back to Portland, and I just want to say thank you for inviting me to be a part of such history. And if you have a chance, tell your own story. Sometimes we're waiting for someone else. So I think that some of us, unlike myself, like you, you know, I didn't think that I was going to be honored or whatever, so, and I thought about it. Sometimes we wait for somebody else to tell our stories, and we think that people know our stories, and so, and then we become bitter and upset. So tell your story. So if you were gonna write that book, write it. I wanna read it. If you were gonna do that post, do that post. So say no to some of the good stuff that you've been offered, and say yes to the best and write your story and tell your story, because it's all black history.
That's great.
Mm.
Yes,
my
ma'am,
charge.
Producer.
Am I a producer?
Yes. You made history tonight, girl.
So, man, that is a full question. So my charge to all of you is to look in the mirror and finally decide to choose you. It's all in a choice. A lot of our decisions and things that we do is in a choice. But choose you and proclaim and affirm yourself. Because I spent all my life looking for validation, being invisible, just like everyone, doing everything I thought I was supposed to do, being a good mother, a good wife, a good
you know, a good community servant and all of this stuff, and still felt lonely and invisible. Like Sister Nikki, Queen Nikki was saying. And we're having to do all these things so that we're seen. And what resulted, because my dear, can I say it?
Yeah, you can say it.
Because my dear therapist right here on the stage, no. So yeah, I went to therapy, it's okay.
We family.
Get help, go right. Self-care, family. That's part of self-care.
Right.
But in, so like I said, a lot somebody of you know my story. Yeah. But one of the ways, so I had an epiphany and I told her what was going on with me and how I did all these amazing things, working with Mama Shafia, helping her get Erica Badu here, doing the contract for that, writing several articles, doing all this great stuff in the community, but I found myself in a space of stress and trauma. Mm. And in that stress and trauma, because we didn't get to that part, but a lot of the things that we deal with as being invisible, visibly invisible, it impacts our bodies. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm going through something that my back is flared all up because of the anxiety and this trauma that it triggered in the past. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of it, but I say all that. So when I told her what happened, and she said, well, did you value yourself then? Mm-hmm. And I was like, what that mean? I was like, yeah, I'm doing it. She was like, no. Did you value who she was? You know, because we just do and do and do. We don't acknowledge who we are. We don't acknowledge the magic, the beauty, the talent, the gifts, mm-hmm. the phenomenal things that yeah. we do enough. It's okay. I'm going to wear my crown just fine and walk around and be the queen that I am, because it took a long time to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And for us, I want everyone to feel the way that I feel. The freedom to know that I am enough.
Right.
To know that you are enough and look in the mirror and forgive yourself, learn to heal all the trauma that you have been through, forgive those that have trespassed. Am I about to say a prayer? No, forgive those.
That's
what I'm saying.
You better recite it with her.
Forgive those that have hurt you and yes. learn to release it.
Yes.
Because
yes.
it's a choice, because we are moving forward. A lot of us are carrying a lot of PTSD, a lot of trauma and hurt that are keeping us from where we're supposed to be. And I always say, use those storms as stepping stones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, everything that I go through is a stepping stone to get me right here. Because if I told you just a little bit of my story, mm-mm. y'all be like, and she's walking around, Mr. Ben used to say, and you walking around like you just own everything. And I said, yeah, I'm gonna fake it until I make it. And so, you know, and so, but for me, the charge is to look into the mirror and love on yourself like nothing else. So for me, every morning I get up and say, all of life comes to me with ease, glory, and glory and joy.
Amen.
And I am enough. I am beauty, I am magic, I am potent, I am infinite, I am energy. Mm. I say that. That's part of a modality that I work. But I say that, and when I do, I'm a sacred woman as well. And so when I do videos in the morning, and so at the end, because I want everyone to know that you are beautiful, you are powerful, you are magical, you are phenomenal, you are everything good, despite what people have said or what you have done. And you always have a moment to choose.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Well, mine isn't quite as spiritually orientated. Mine is more to disrupt racism out there. You know, when you see things that are wrong and you see people being treated a certain way, you know, if you can pull somebody aside to make the difference, if you have to write a letter, you have to go later to the person and say, you know what, I didn't say anything, but what I saw, I know it wasn't right, I support you. You know, speak to all the children out there. The kids out here, they don't have, a lot of times there's no one speaking to them.
Yes.
They come from homes where maybe there's no food, their parent had to go to work before they could even get out. I remember seeing a little boy on the corner at 8 o'clock on the street, and I knew there was something wrong, and so I finally went over to him, you know, I didn't get too close. I said, you know, I said, I think you missed your bus. I said, your bus is gone. Glad that he was waiting for his bus. And I said, you know, you need to go back home. And I watched him, because I was just want to make sure I get in. I watched him lift the window and crawl through his house. And I said, lock the window. And I kept going. Right. So those kind of things, you know, just speak to the children, because they need us. Don't assume that they're okay. And if they are okay, say hi to them anyway. Don't speak to the children, protect the children. Like we just said, really speak to each other, give eye contact. My affirmation is that I'm divinely guided. I'm truly blessed. I'm living my success right now. I used to always look for my success, like, oh, next year I'm gonna get my PhD, I'm gonna do that. But you know, I said, you know, Chef, you're successful right now. Yeah. Yes. Every day I'm successful. I'm blessed and I'm guided.
Yes.
And so I want us to, you know, remember that you have already made your success. It doesn't have to be the $1 million.
Yes.
It's
right.
That daily, hourly. But mainly, like I said, you know, I'm a people person and I like peace. So I don't like to see things, messed up. Yes. I don't like to see children having hard lives. So for me, I just think we should all sacrifice more and get out of our cars and quit thinking about, I got a car, I got a phone, I got so much. But what about other people?
Mm.
So I would say challenge our selfishness, if we're selfish. Challenge to be willing to share our time. You know, my daughter graduated from Jefferson, and I didn't keep a lot of time there. But then last year, I volunteered every week for the PSTA meeting. They said, why are you here? I said, because first, that's my community school, and I want to give back because I didn't do a lot for my daughter was in the school. And so even that, you can volunteer for anything. Mm-hmm. You know, your kids don't have to be in school. I used to go to Humboldt and just bring a jump rope with the little kids and do doublets with the girls. And like, we love you. What's your name again? What's that on your head? You know, like, for this. So there's so much that we could do. We really need to do community service. We need to do community. We need to give back. Mm-hmm. You know, that if we don't give back, it's not going to happen. It's not going to say, well, I'll let her do it. You know, I have to do it. I don't know if she can do it. Maybe she don't. I don't know. But I need to do it. Take responsibility for impacting your immediate community and then let that spread out.
You know, there's a song that's really popular.
You
right
gonna
now.
Sing? You gonna sing?
You know what God says to me, sing.
Thank you.
Because that's in my bliss. But I'm not singing to take anything from this panel because I want you to understand. They empower me. The Spirit is in all of us and all of you, and we are connected and interwoven that way. Our culture lived in spirit, died in spirit. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be open to hearing what you're called to do. And each person has heard something tonight that has touched them deeply. I talk about my faith-based community because if we don't listen to each other and quit performing for each other.
They didn't hear you. Say that.
You can say that again.
But live
say
in spirit. Be guided to do what you do. There's a song that's real popular right now. Some of you who are millennials, I had to learn it. I had to learn it in a week. But this song says, I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say. We don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of what I've seen. Run away, they say. No one will love you as you are. But not gonna let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us. For we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut you down, I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown them out. I am brave. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come.
Yes.
Come on. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me. Whoa. Whoa. This you so much for coming tonight. We hope you enjoyed. Come back to We Can Listen. Keep going to the website, and we'll see you again. Take the charge. There's a reception that's going to go on. Please give another hand for these ladies.
I love you.
Love you, Marlene.
That's right, that's right. There's a reception that's in the other room. Just go walk through for those who have planned it. We want to honor their time. Just go through, have a little something, and then be safe as you go home. Thank you for coming. Good night.
Thank you.
Right on down. Right on down. Thank
you.
We're going to center down.
Oh, we're so glad. I want to support you. We don't want to go back to that beating our kid, tying him up, the old slave mentality.
Oh, thank you.
This is amazing.
I'm so glad. You know, I didn't think about that, but you know, that's some of the work that I did. It's when you see children and stop and judge them.
That's right.
I've had children ask me for food.
I know it. Trainers. You see kids at summertime at 10 o'clock at night, they're eight. Oh, you're able to walk by themselves.
I used to like go through the hood, deliver apples, oranges.
I keep staring at you. You look amazing. Oh my God.
I will.
I love you.
You
look so
pretty.
Your husband's like,
oh my God. He gonna make
me out the you can't get pretty. You get all kinds of bad. You be like,
I'm so glad.
That was my rest.
Oh,
thank you.
Sorry.
Let me lift it up.
You got it.
Samantha, listen, I'm so proud of you. I'm gonna find you and learn.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I want to learn about the breastfeeding, the TC. No, thank you. And the nausea. Yes.
You know what you're supposed to be doing. It ain't what they say.
Okay.
About that.
Oh, you're okay.
I have a sign right
here. I love you.
I didn't get a chance to talk to
you. I'm going
to
take this one. These shoes off. I can hear you.
Oh, shoot.
Thank you.
I tried to behave myself.
Yeah. All right, that was wonderful.
The stain.
I know it. Oh my, I'm so glad I made it.
Me too.
Yeah, you know, wait, listen.